with us and want to know how come I didn't preach at home like I preached out that prison. And you know why. If you want me to preach like that, get with me. Okay?
Yes.
Amen. Don't be like that fellow I heard Brother Gamlin talk about. Listen, Brother Gamlin today. Listen, if y'all not taking advantage of our tapes, you're missing out on something. We've got sermons that'll just lift you up.
Amen.
He said he preached some words that he noticed all during his preaching, a fellow sitting there nodding. All during his preaching. Anybody nod and Brother Gamlin's preaching, there's something bad wrong with it too. And he said, just as soon as he quit preaching, though, said the fellow come running to the platform, grabbed him by the hand, and said, got a question to ask you, preacher. Said, where did Cain get his wife? You know, the land of Nod. Brother Gamlin said, well, you ought to know you've been in that land for the last 45 minutes. You ought to found out why you was over there. Don't go to the land of Nod on me tonight now. For just the next 25 minutes or so. Please don't go to the land of Nod. I want to talk to you from the 6th chapter of Galatians, verse 7. Amen. And it's a truth that never will change. The law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Seems like some folks will never get their lesson. But the law of sowing and reaping stand just like it has always stood. You're going to reap just what you sow. Now this scripture says, be not deceived. Everybody quote with me, be not deceived.
Be not deceived.
God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that's not the end of this. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season,
we shall reap.
I tell you folks, it's no time to go to the land of Nod. It's no time to faint. It's no time to quit. It's time to sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. Let's praise Him together, will you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. It seems that some of us will never learn that every wrongdoing has to be paid for. Sin has to be paid for. Some people pay in this life and thank God that they can pay in this life. Some men's sins go on before them. That's those that have gone to God the proper way and sent their sins on before. Other men's sins follow along after them. Every unrepented of sin that you have committed, whether in the world or since you've been in the church. Now, of course, in the world, that was cut off when you repented and was baptized. If you're not in the church, every sin of your life is still tagging along with you. If you're in the church, every sin that you have committed since coming into the church that you have not made right is tagging right along with you. It's like the fellow I told you about that was baptized in St. Francis River up close to Rector, where Russell and Joy pastors, several years ago. I believe it was Holcomb, Missouri. And my pastor was preaching a revival there. Baptized the man, had on overalls. And when he put him down in the water, a twist of cotton bowl. You know what I'm talking about? You know what cotton bowl is? Tobacco. A twist of chewing tobacco, cotton bowl by brand, floated out of his pocket. And right after he was baptized, come to the top of the water. And that fellow looked off the other way. And the people on the bank saw that twist of tobacco floating, and they laughed a little bit. It's sort of funny. And it stayed right by that old boy's side. And when they started marching out of the river to the bank, every time he'd take a step and the wave would go with it, the tobacco would go with it. Followed him all the way to the bank. He ignored it. Be sure your sins will find you out. Now that's just a crude example. But I want you to know every unrepented of sin follows you right along with you. You can shut your eyes to it. You can look the other way. You can ignore it. You can play like everything's all right. But it's not all right until it's under the blood. For the unregenerated person to come to God must be born again of water and of the Spirit. And then he can say, praise God, my sins are gone. This side of Calvary in your own life, it's just as simple as if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. He's the propitiation for our sins. And not ours only, but for the sins of the whole wide world. But people will not bring themselves to admit as to what they really are or what they've been doing. You know what's wrong with people? They try to justify every wrong that they do. They blame somebody else. It's the wife. It's the husband. It's the church. It's the pastor. It's the Sunday school teacher. It's the deacon board. It's somebody else. It's the community I live in. It's the school I attend. It's the job that I work on. No, it's not. It's you or me, whichever the case may be. You can't blame your sins on anybody but you. And if you're carrying a load tonight, take it to Jesus. Praise God. Take it to Jesus. He cares and he can do something about the situation. Well, praise the Lord with clapping your hands. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I was thinking of different characters in the Bible that did wrong. Only to reap from the wrongdoing. There's the story of Samson. Samson made it, according to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. He's mentioned with those in the hall of faith. And the scripture says all these died in the faith. But it also said God having provided some better thing for us. Whatever Samson had, the church has got a little bit more. Whatever Moses had, the real church has more. You say, what more could you have? Well, you can know the name of Jesus for one thing, and you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost for another thing. I mean, though the men of yesteryear were influenced and led by and spoke by the power of the Holy Ghost that was in them or with them, but today, it's a different story. We are born again of water and of the Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. But when Samson was born, his mother and father, like any mother and father, were probably happy to have a little boy. But this was different, really. He came to a home that was not really expecting a child because his mother had been barren. And it looked like that this family would never have a child. And then Samson came, a special child. A special child. I'd like to tell you this. Every one of you are special in the eyes of heaven tonight. And God expects some things of us that we might not fulfill. I mean, there's some things that's up to us. God don't make you do right. You're the one that's got to do right. God does not make you worship the Lord. You're the one that must worship the Lord. God does not make you praise Him. You're the one that must praise the Lord. He commands it. He demands it. But He does not force it on you. Praise the Lord. I count it a privilege to be able to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take time out and send up a few praises tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, when the angel came and told Manoah and his wife that they were going to be blessed with this special child who was to be a Nazarite, not a Nazarene, Nazarite, and that he was not to have a razor put upon his head. He was not to have his hair cut. Some people feel that gives the boys and the men liberty. They're not always special. Samson was a special. special charm. This was a sign of someone who had a vow with God, a contract or a vow with God for a special place. Samson was born to be a judge in Israel, and he was. But along the way, he made some terrible mistakes, and I'll not go into all of them. One of the first mistakes that you hear of, he married the wrong woman. I don't know who the right one was, but he married the wrong one. He married a Philistine woman, and this was wrong. And this, he paid for it. He no more married this, I'm not talking about Delilah now, I'm talking about the other one, the first one. He married this woman of the Philistines, and it was a bad thing. No more than the wedding was over until trouble started in. And he went off, and when he came home, he found out his wife had already been given to somebody else. And he got all angry and caught a bunch of foxes. He was a fox on the wing. I don't know how in the world he caught them, but he got 300 of them. Tied the firebrands to their tails and turned them loose in the enemy's corn patch. My, what a mess. But it cost him for this. His wife and her father were both slaughtered because of this thing. And he was a weeping, terrified man. But really, it all goes back to the wrong choice, doing the wrong thing. You're going to reap just what you sow. One strike was not enough. He tried it again. He got him another sweetheart. And again, he picked a woman of the Philistines. It looks like some folks had fallen in. Learn. I see people get in all kinds of trouble once and turn around and get in the same trouble again. I watched some people, of course not in the church, I'm talking about somewhere else. But I've watched somebody have a bad marriage. I mean, they marry a man or a woman that just turned out to be absolutely no good. And it winds up as a wrecked home, and they get married again. And you know what? About 9 times out of 10, they marry the same kind of a bum. I said, not here. I'm talking about over yonder somewhere. In the Church of the Living God or the Baptist Church in Jesus' name or something. You know, somewhere else, not here. I'm just saying that sometimes people make a mistake only to turn around and make the same mistake again. What are we going to learn if we make a mistake to not let the devil pull that same trick on us again? I knew a fellow that was picked up in Memphis, Tennessee several years ago and was charged by the law for homosexual activity. And he proved that he was innocent with witnesses. Prove he wasn't there. I don't know how you can be there and still not be there. But anyway, he proved by certain witnesses that he was not there and got out of it. 2 months later, he got picked up in the same hotel on the same charge. Now, guilty or not guilty, they're not going to get me 2 times in the same place for anything. They picked me up one time and stopped me right here and gave me a traffic ticket to school for breaking the speed limit. Now, they may get me for breaking the speed limit somewhere, but not at this school. Because I think of it every time I even approach it. Yeah, John is driving. I said, go get a ticket, slow it down. I got one there, and I got one over there, and I got one over there, and I know all them places. I'm joking about that. I haven't had but one in the last 15 years or so. God's been good to me. Everybody say praise the Lord. I'll take that back of that too. All right. But I want Reynolds now. Reynolds is a different story. He came right down here, right down this street one day and got a ticket for speeding. They got him a radar. He tried to beat it. The next block he turned left and went over behind that planter's mill, sat there for about 20 minutes. Had that little red oval he used to drive. After he thought he'd sat there long enough, he backed up, and when he got out to the 5th Street, there sat a policeman on a motorcycle. Said, Ren, you know better than that. Come go with me. Lo and behold, the next day they got him again in the same place. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. Sure, we've made mistakes. I can't find the one here that looks innocent to me. We have made mistakes. And we've paid for our mistakes. And if we don't get rid of our sins, we'll pay for them. Eventually, everybody's going to pay for every sin. Now, I don't want to carry them to judgment with me. Praise God, praise God. Let's praise the Lord, will you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Samson married Delilah, of course. Mark and Jonelle, when you all have a little baby girl, you think you'll name her Delilah? Jezebel? Have a boy you'll name him Ahab? That's almost as bad. No, I'm teasing. All right. He married Delilah, and she was not anything but after his victory. That's all. She didn't want anything from him but his victory. Now, I'm telling you, folks, it'd be better never to get married. Or never to have an automobile. Or never to have anything, a house or anything that money can buy, than to have something that'll drag you down and cause you to do wrong. And we just got to watch out for the devil, because he'll put a web around us. He'll get us so tied down and tied up and wound up and bound up until we can't worship God. We have been there where we couldn't raise our hands. We've been there where we couldn't lift our voice. We've been there when we didn't feel like praying in a prayer room. We've been there when we couldn't say amen to the message of God. We've been there where we couldn't dance in the Spirit. We've been there where we couldn't praise God. But I say, like the man in history, give me liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. So, of course, the next thing you know, she starts sweet-talking him. And that's the way that it may not have to be a wife or a husband. That's the enemy's approach. He'll brag on you. I mean, he'll tell you you're pretty. And to some of us, we ought to know he's a liar when he starts that. He'll make you feel good, the enemy I'm talking about, when you really should feel good. And you go out saying, it was the Lord, I felt good. I won't tell you. The fruit of the Spirit is not feeling good. They feel good at a baseball game. And that has nothing to do with spirituality. They feel good at a baseball or football game, and I don't know how. But they do. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. Sean, this is better than shooting a deer. Don't be like that woman, Miss Gibson, down at Raydale when I went in down there. And I bought something. I don't remember that ham sandwich or something she fixed for me. I said, Miss Gibson, that's gooder than snuff. She said, oh, ain't nothing good. Ain't nothing good or snow. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is better than anything this world has to offer. Hallelujah. When I say Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm talking about something that turns you around, something that makes you a new creature, something that gives you a different outlook in this world. Amen. Next thing you know, Delilah had his head in her lap and pulling on his pretty curls and running her hand through that beautiful hair and saying, please, Samson. Well, he ought to have better sense than tell her. She'd already tried every trick in the book, and he'd fibbed to her several times. And by now, he ought to have known what she is up to. But that's the way sin is. It's blinding. I mean, it's deceiving. And we're in the commandment, be not deceived. Let's leave Samson. Let's talk about David. David, a king. David, who had everything and could have everything that he wanted. And it was David, though he was, in those days, they had more than one wife, and he could have had many wives without condemnation in that time. Incidentally, we're living in a different day now, and Paul teaches it a little bit different. David couldn't belong to New Testament church, and they like Samson couldn't either. Now, they were right in their day. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference in Old Testament people of God and New Testament church. Amen. So anyway, David committed the sin of adultery. You're aware of this. Some folks don't like talking about that, since David was a great man, wrote a lot of beautiful psalms, but he still did wrong. I don't mean he's going to hell, because you read his psalms, you'll find out this is the thing that God loved about him. He was a man that was big enough to repent. Hallelujah. He humbled himself. And he repented. And God forgave him. But David, if he is here tonight, and he could give his testimony, would say, what about David? Was it worth it? He'd say, I was almost gone. I went way down in the quicksands of sin. And he picked me up out of miry clay. And he put my feet on a rock to stay. Hallelujah. He did, of course, fall with this woman. Not only did he fall to sin, the woman was with David's child. He also was guilty of murder, because he had her husband sent to the battlefields and put on the front lines that he might be killed, that there might not be a reproach brought upon this woman, because it was very evident that she had not been with her husband, but rather with David. The next thing you know, the child is born. And then the child dies. And David weeps and he cries. There's a little hope in this, though. Even though as ugly as the story is, he said, I can't bring the child back, but I can go to it. Hallelujah. But see the night. See the king sitting in ashes. See the king doing without food. See the king praying. And no doubt felt, this is my penalty. This is the penalty for the sin that I have committed. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not sending David to hell. I'm saying you'll reap just what you sow. If you do wrong, I know people have come to me with problems, and sometimes the things that they've done wrong, and they're a bundle of nerves. They're just torn apart. The devil told them you'll be happy if you do certain things, only to find out that the devil is a lie. And the law of sowing and reaping still stands. You'll reap exactly what you sow. When you mistreat somebody, remember, friends, your day's coming. When you take something wrong, your day's coming. Amen. When you do something wrong, you're going to pay for it. Either here or in the hereafter, because the word of God is very plain. You will reap exactly what you sow. Now, he that soweth to the flesh, your flesh and my flesh, we're all human beings. Without God, we're a people of great temptation. We're a people of passions. And sometimes these passions would get absolutely out of control. Absolutely out of control, unless we let this power that you talked about in our life to guide us and direct us. We do everything from giving away part of our mind. I often hear people say, well, I'll just give them a piece of my mind, and they give a piece here and they give a piece there, and the first thing you know, they don't have it. That's when you got so many crazy folks running around. I mean, you've got to stop these things and absolutely be a Christian. You give somebody a piece of your mind, and it won't be long till somebody will give you a piece of their mind. I mean, you reap what you sow. Now, sowing to the flesh. You all have your likes and dislikes and all that. But remember, your day is coming to reap whatever kind of seed that you sow. I've told you this story many times. But it is a story that a couple, before they were married, this boy hated his neighbor who owned 360 acres of ground, good prime farming land. And there was a feud between the families, and this boy thought he'd get even with old man, whatever his name was. So he takes him a peck of Johnson grass seed, and he goes across a 40-acre field of this man's choice farmland, would raise cotton or soybeans or whatever. And he scatters this Johnson grass, which a few years ago this was a tremendous battle to get rid of. And so he thought he had done something great. He had done something wonderful. Sure enough, that Johnson grass came up the next year, reseeded itself, and it wasn't long until that whole 40 acres was just covered with Johnson grass. And that was a curse to the farmers. I guess still a problem. But you feed it in the hay to the animals, to the horses, and all that. And then it would pass through their body, and they were scattered over the whole farm. And before long, hundreds of acres would be contaminated with Johnson grass. But the story is that after a while, this boy got struck on this neighbor's daughter. And they began to court. And they finally entered into matrimony, got married. And this old man, whom he didn't like so well, told him, said, "I'm going to do something good for you. I'm going to give you that 40 acres over there covered with Johnson grass that he had sowed. You're going to reap exactly what you sowed." Oh, my Lord, if I hadn't have done that. That's the cry of David. If I just hadn't have done that. That's the cry of Samson. Take a look. Look again at Samson. See him after he fell. See him after his power was gone. Take a look at a pathetic creature. See him being led about by just ordinary people. See him blind because they took a hot iron and burned his eyes out. Burned his eyes out. They hooked him to a mill of some sort, and he worked like an ox or a mule, around and around. Oh, my God. Oh, don't you know he's sad? Don't you know he's sorry? If I'd have never married that first one, let alone that second one, had I never done the wrong that I did, but he did it, and he's having to pay. Hallelujah. Well, in the closing days of his time, it's proved that he asked for power, and he received power. And he died in victory, and that's all well and good. And the 11th chapter of Hebrews tells us that he died in the faith, and that's wonderful. But between the times, there was some toiling, there was some pulling, there was some sweating, there was some praying, there was some sorrow. You can bring sorrow upon yourself, or you can be happy. I want you to know your Christian experience can be happy all the way. You can be happy every day of your life. It just depends on how you live. I mean, you can be broke and still be happy. Somebody said, "Well, we don't have anything to eat." Well, if you've got anything, that's really good enough. I mean, the fellow that fires on cornbread and sweet milk, he just as well off. Once you get your tummy full of that, you're just as well off as if you'd eaten beefsteak. I mean, you might like the taste, but that don't amount to anything. It's what does you good. It's the reason I've been trying to get somebody to eat post salad. It'll do you good. It's not the taste after all. It's just what you need. And especially what we need from the Word of God. Remember, friends, you don't remember another thing I've said tonight. If you sow to the flesh, whether it be adultery, homosexuality, or whether it be bitterness, or hatred, or envy, or strife, or get even spirits, whatever it is, you're going to reap just what you sow. But look, here's the way to sow. He that soweth to the Spirit, to the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Not to your own wants and likes and dislikes, but he that soweth to the Spirit of God shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hey, I feel the wheel already turning in my heart. I feel the mill already going. I feel the happiness that goes with heaven, because heaven has already begun in our heart and life. Thus praise the Lord. Standing, if you will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.